The original pathology head of the NSABP was Dr. Edwin Fisher, brother of Bernie Fisher, who worked hand-in-hand with his sibling for years, not only to change the treatment of breast cancer, but also the contribution of breast pathology. Dr. Soon Paik has nobly followed this tradition of excellence and moved the NSABP into the era of molecular pathology, with particular emphasis on predictors of response to systemic therapy. Every interview with Dr. Paik is a content roller coaster ride, and he began this chat by discussing his fascinating work on predictors of relapse in patients with HER2-positive disease who receive adjuvant trastuzumab.
What we are interested in is to see whether we can identify either prognostic factors or predictive markers for benefit from trastuzumab, because we, although they had a significant benefit, still their four-year recurrence rate was about 15%, so they were not completely cured. So we had to have a next-generation trial where we add more agent like bevacizumab, but we didn't want to give it to everybody, so we had to generate a prognostic model for Herceptin-treated patients. So there we were trying to do many markers.
So what specific markers are you looking at?
Right, so there are obvious candidates such as HER2 gene copy or expression level by immunohistochemistry, as well as some other molecules that are described as important in a HER2 receptor signaling pathway, such as P10. So we have looked at that.
So I know one of the things you've looked at that's been very revealing has been c-MYC, and I want to ask you about that. But can you talk about the other things that you looked at? I'm curious about the gene copy. What have you found there?
Oh, yeah. So and obviously, that's actually very interesting biology, because since trastuzumab is a targeted therapy to HER2, in theory, one would expect that HER2 level should be a direct predictor of degree of benefit from trastuzumab in adjuvant setting. But when you looked at it, and it's by gene amplification level, it did not. So it turns out that because of the way that the eligibility was set up in B31 trial, about 10% of the patient overall turned out to have a normal copy, no amplification.
Did everybody have FISH?
In the end, we did FISH on everybody by central assay, and it turns out that 10% of them was normal copy, no amplification. Now, some of them have still some overexpression of the protein, and obviously these are highly selected patients because originally they were tested positive by immunohistochemistry or FISH, so it's not entirely completely negative patient. At least by central assay, these are HER2 negative patients by definition.
And so these patients were IHC 3+ in a central lab and then got into the study and found to be FISH negative?
No, the way that we conducted it is initially any lab could do the testing, and if they were either 3+ immunostaining by any immunohistochemical assay or FISH amplified, then they were eligible. And then we published this data that we found 20% false positive rate when you did central testing. So we changed our eligibility. Still, we allowed so-called qualified labs to perform the assay. So there were about 23 labs that were performing HER2 assay. So when we combined this initial accrual with fairly bad assays and later relatively good assays, which greatly improved the situation, but still, overall, we had 10% patients who were tested negative by central assay.
So did every patient in the study have central IHC in FISH?
Yes.
So in other words, these were 10% of the patients were essentially HER2 negative.
Right. Actually, probably about 7% are HER2 negative, because among those FISH negative patients, some of them are immunohistochemistry positive.
Right.
Still.
So were there enough patients or events to document whether there was any impact of Herceptin in the HER2 negative patients?
Yeah, we actually have only 10%, so it's fairly
enough,
small
right.
number, but actually in those small number of patients with an absolutely normal copy HER2, equal or below 2 copies per cell, there actually is a trend to benefit. So that's quite surprising. And when you do the interaction test or test for heterogeneity of benefit, impact of benefit across all categories of gene amplification, we didn't find any significance. So It tells me that looks like the HER2 gene copy number is not going to be a good predictor of degree of benefit.